This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Sports Radio 94 WIP, Tom Kelly, Dan Wilson with you on a Friday afternoon. We're filling in for Joe and Hugh today. You want to get in, 215-592-9494 is how you're doing the show. Obviously talking a lot of Eagles. The Eagles taking on the Ravens this week. Big game. Do you need to see the Eagles go down there and make a statement on Sunday? And also talking about the Eagles and how they stack up with the Detroit Lions. You got the Lions who, are obviously a very good team, 11-1 this year. They win again yesterday. But I watched that game yesterday, and that team didn't scare me. I mean, they struggled to get past the Bears. I didn't think they were that impressive. And I'm at the point where I would love to get the number one seed. Probably not going to happen. I don't think it's a huge deal, though. If the Eagles have to go on the road to beat Detroit in the NFC Championship game, I am confident they'll do it.
I'm not there yet. I hope to be there by the time the NFC Championship rolls around. It feels like this is a very likely scenario at this point. I think the one seed matters. I think the Lions have the inside track on that number one seed. And I think they, frankly, have done everything they've needed to do thus far this season to have earned that number one status. And it's their NFC to lose, for lack of a better way of putting it.
Yeah, and I think the Eagles are just a better team. I do. I look at the Lions. They're good. They're talented. I think overall the Eagles receivers are better. I think the quarterbacks kind of cancel out. The running games are similar, but Saquon, I think, is the bigger difference maker. And I just think the Eagles' defense is better than the Lions' defense is. And the loss of Aiden Hutchinson is a really big deal. I get the Eagles just lost Brandon Graham. Love Brandon Graham. He's not Aiden Hutchinson. Aiden Hutchinson is one of the best defensive players in football. I would be confident to pick the Eagles going in there to beat Detroit in that game. So you want to get in, 215-592-9494. Our side topic today, give us something that has aged well. My kids are 2 and 3 years old, and they love The Wizard of Oz, which came out in 1939. It's 85 years old, and they are still... It still draws kids in. Any age, it is aged incredibly well. So give us something that is aged well as well. That's our side topic today. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to the phones in a second here. But breaking Sixers news during the break. For their game, when is their game? Tonight or tomorrow?
Tomorrow night. They're in Detroit.
Okay, tomorrow night they're in Detroit. And Joel Embiid is out, correct, Buzz?
Correct. With the official reason... Injury, knee management / personal reasons.
Knee injury management / personal reasons. Well, I hope everything's okay with Joel Embiid. Don't know what the personal reasons are, obviously. But the knee injury management part of it is obviously extremely concerning. And, I mean, Nick Nurse spoke about this before the game the other night, and this didn't seem like a very encouraging update to me. Here's what Nick Nurse had to say about Joel and where his knee is right now.
Well, I don't think we know, right? I think we, all of that you said is on our table, or on our plate, I mean. He needs to play again and see how it reacts. I mean, that's kind of where we're at right now. It gets to a point where he can play. And then the recovery, the process of when he can go again and all that kind of stuff. I think we knew there'd be some moments and times where it's going to take a little longer, but we're hoping that those times in between playing get less and less as we go here as it gets a little stronger.
I mean, it doesn't sound good, basically saying, we'll see based on Joel playing and how much time he's going to need, because he plays the other night, plays in Memphis, puts up 35, and then has to sit for a few games here. I do not think this knee is going to get any better, and I think the fact that the Sixers gave him this extension...
Looks horrible.
It's crazy. And I at the time, I thought it was all procedural. This is what you got to do. But they know more than we know. Like, they have more access
they
to Joel.
They apparently consulted 6 doctors on this?
Right. They have much more access to Joel Embiid's health situation than we do. And if you knew the knee was this bad and you gave him that extension, It's ridiculous. It's crazy.
How long until you genuinely would? I don't think they're going to do it. But how long, Tom, if you were running the Sixers, if you were Daryl Morey, effectively, would you just say, all right, it's actually better if we just lose and protect our draft pick this year as opposed to contend for this year?
I don't think you can. Like, I really don't think that's the route you're going to go. Because
I don't think they're going to, but, like, what are they playing for?
Well, this is the problem. Really nothing. Like, if you tank, you got to be so bad because that pick is only top six protected.
Correct.
If you finish seven or higher, and obviously that's a lottery situation, you're going to lose the pick. So I think that's a really risky game to play. You just signed Paul George. I mean, I don't think he's going to be very happy about the team tanking.
Is he very happy with how the team is now? I mean, like,
no, but I don't think this is a situation. I don't think it's as simple as you just say, okay, we're going to shut everybody down and tank because that's going to make a lot of people within the organization very upset, and I think it's going to make most fans very upset.
I agree, and I don't think they'll do it, but I guess I'm looking at it from the perspective of if they keep trying to win, like they're 3-14 right now, I believe. Like, if I had to ask you right now, how many regular season wins do they finish with, and what seed do they finish with? Like,
well, I mean, I have no clue because I don't know how many games Embiid's
going
to play.
You don't, but I'm going off of, if we're playing the odds, like it seems like he can't stay on the court for more than two games at a time, right? Like, everyone thought he was ducking booze last week, but now he still hasn't been able to play. It doesn't feel like he could string it feels like he can't string more than two games in a row together. And I asked this question to, I proposed this question yesterday on my own show, and I'll ask it to you right now. Even if, in a fantasy world where the Sixers won every game for the rest of the season, and Embiid didn't have to play a single game, you could spot them the one seed in the East starting in mid-April. If you said to me right now the Sixers are the number one seed in mid-April, could Embiid even get through the 2 months required for the playoffs? Like, could he do it?
And probably not.
Like, probably not. Like, I've just lost so much hope as a fan in general, and it feels like the best-case scenario is they make the play and it's like losing five at best to the Celtics in the first round. Where are you going?
But this is the thing, though. It's not. I don't think it's as easy as saying, "Oh, well, let's just tank."
Like, I agree. It's not. It's a hypothetical. It's not going to happen.
There are way too many things involved with that. I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think have many options here. Like, they've just got to hope
is what they are.
Yeah, they've just got to hope that Embiid can go out there and play eventually, and that Paul George can stay on the floor, and that they can find a way to win enough games to get in the play-in because they don't have many other options. I agree. They really don't have any other options.
They're so stuck. Like, they are just so stuck, and they're going to work back. Last year, they lost in the first round. Obviously, they've had mostly second-round exits during the process. This feels like a year they could literally lose in the play-in, which would mean they don't even make the playoffs. At best, a first-round exit yet again. I just don't see how it goes any better. And even if they were able to advance, it doesn't feel like Embiid could stay on the court for more than a week at a time at most anyway. So I just don't even know what the potential payoff. I don't know what this season going well looks like anymore. I really don't.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Nobody's going to know until we have some sort of clarification with Embiid. And this is the thing that I've been saying for a week now, at least. Daryl Morey needs to come out and say something. Like, Daryl Morey needs to speak to his fan base because right now, it's not fair to Nick Nurse to consistently send him out there to answer questions that either he doesn't know the answers to
or can't say.
Like, you can't continue to throw Nick Nurse out there. Daryl Morey's the one who made these decisions. He's the one who signed Joel Embiid the extension. He's the one who signed Paul George this offseason. Daryl Morey needs to come out and speak. I mean, it's really that simple.
I would be in favor of that. I would. I mean, him getting grilled by Howard right now would be something, wouldn't it? Well, like, him getting grilled by anyone right now. I don't even know what that press conference would sound like. His long-winded answers about why the team's 3-14 and they're staying the course and he's going to roll his eyes at questions about Embiid. Like, I'm in favor of him speaking too, but I don't know how it could possibly go well.
No, I mean, it probably won't go well, but he owes it to the fan base to come out and say something. But if you want to get in on the Sixers, 215-592-9494, Joel Embiid out at least another game tomorrow night. Does look like Paul George might be back. He was a full participant at practice, so we'll see if the Sixers get him back tomorrow night as well. And with them going to Detroit, it does just make me angry thinking about how much Tobias Harris got to be loving this situation right now. I can't stand Tobias. He's got to be cracking. I don't think he's happy Joel's hurt, but I think he's happy that the Sixers are going through so much turmoil.
Not like he would be helping it at all right now if he were here, but Yeah, he's probably not missing the Sixers too much.
No, he probably feels like he's the scapegoat, even though he sucked when he was here.
Correct, and he feels like, ah, look, you're without me and you still suck. And all those Sixers fans who didn't know more and would have traded, who didn't know anything and would have traded me for a crumble cookie, look at me now. That team has three wins and you suck, and you got Paul George, and he can't stay on the court either, and he's been disappointing when he plays. No, you're probably right. He's probably got a grin ear to ear every night they lose.
Yeah, it's really not good. Let's go back to the phones. Aaron in Norristown. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I wanted to talk a little bit about, you were talking about Harbaugh and our coach, Sirianni. When you were talking about Harbaugh, this coach has, you can just Google the amount of poor decisions that he's made in terms of challenging. I mean, if you want to criticize Andy Reid, this guy's the worst challenge coach in the history of the NFL. He has taken a team with a two-time MVP, can't even get out of the first round of the playoffs. Yet he has been an embarrassment in Baltimore. And how do you have the worst points per game in the fourth quarter as a head coach at giving up 10 points a game, and the Eagles actually are the stingiest fourth-quarter team at 2 points per game, and tell me that he is a better coach right now than Nick Sirianni?
Well,
I'm not saying that Sirianni's better, but how is he better?
Well, I don't think he's an embarrassment.
I've heard you guys talk for a while. Let me ask a question. How is he better in his playoff? Pretend everything is looked at through a green pair of glasses. Put the glasses on the Ravens like they're the Eagles, and tell me how you would feel about him as a coach in the playoffs the past five years.
Well, Aaron, this is the thing, and I don't think he's an embarrassment. I think he is a good coach, but you were right. Like, Harbaugh has had a number of very questionable decisions over the course of the last couple of years, and a few weeks ago, I'm watching the Ravens game, and he challenges a play that is one of the worst challenges I've seen all season. It was a matter of 2 yards in the first quarter of a game. And it's like, my initial thought immediately was, if Nick Sirianni challenges this play, he's getting absolutely crushed for it. But it's John Harbaugh, so he won't.
We'll be talking about it. Right. My point is just like how he's given up. His defense is the worst secondary, the second worst secondary in the NFL. I mean, he literally has a two-time MVP, and he can't even get to a championship game. Imagine that. Imagine we had that here. It's literally like, you know, he's above criticism because he won one Super Bowl. When was that? Was that 2 years ago? Was that 10 years ago? How long ago was that? Right? So right now, as a head coach, he is considered hard-nosed, stubborn, and unyielding. And I'm going to tell you, if the game comes down, do you think the game is going to come down to a close game? He's just as propensity to make a bad decision as Nick does, if not worse. He's got a two-time, potential three-time MVP as his quarterback. He's got a 1,500-yard rusher, and he can't pull off a win. He gets beat by the Raiders in the fourth quarter. He gets blown out in the fourth quarter by the Raiders. If he was our coach, he'd be getting lambasted. Instead, he's John Harbaugh, so he's a golden child. You know, I think he's the most overrated coach in the NFL right now, in my opinion.
Aaron, I hope you're correct, and I really hope what you're saying is true, and I hope that he does make a poor decision late in the game, because that would help the Eagles. Maybe I would view him differently if I was, you know, watching every single moment of every single Ravens game like I do with the Eagles. I'm just looking at the overall body of work, his overall, and I understand what you're saying, that he hasn't been to an AFC championship game, and no, he's not above criticism because he won one Super Bowl, you know, a decade ago, but it you know, Nick Sirianni has, the only year he's ever won a playoff game was the year they went to the Super Bowl and lost as well. So I just don't buy that. You're saying, well, what is Harbaugh better at? Like, where would you rank Harbaugh and your coaches in the NFL right now? Like, I guess not top five. I guess not even top 10. Like, you think he's just a flat out bad coach?
Currently, he's middle. Right now, he's a middle of the road coach. Andy Reid's a great coach, but when he left here, where would you rank him? So everything's current. I don't really care about your past. I care about where we are right now. And the Eagles have a better – you haven't even addressed. How do you have a team that in the fourth quarter that has the best running game in the league outside of ours, or maybe equal if you want to consider their quarterback, how do they have the worst performance in the fourth quarter? Is any of that on the head coach? How are they the worst performing fourth quarter team in the NFL?
Yeah, hey, Aaron, I hear you, man. What do you got for our side topic today?
Disney.
What's that?
Disney.
Okay, there you go. Appreciate the call, Aaron.
Disney has aged quite well. I mean, that's an overarching company that encompasses lots of movies, franchises, if you will. But that's a pretty good answer. Just really quickly going back to, like, they might be the worst in the fourth quarter, whatever Aaron was saying to his point. Like, they're still 8-4. They're still in the AFC.
Well, for as bad as Nick Sirianni is, the Eagles are 9-2.
I never said Nick Sirianni was bad. I think he's a good... No.
Do you think you don't think Nick Sirianni's a very good coach?
I do think he's a good coach.
You do?
I don't think he's a great guy. I've said that a few times today. I think he's a good coach, not a great coach.
Do you think he makes more good game management decisions or bad game management decisions?
I think he makes high leverage. I think if you were going strictly quantity of game management decisions, more good than bad. I think he makes some really high leverage mistakes in bad situations, and that is what's preventing me from saying he's a great coach.
And that's where I just don't see it the same way. And I think when we look at a guy like John Harbaugh, we do base so much on his resume. Because when a coach isn't here and we're not watching them every week, that's how we view him. And I think it's similar to Dan Campbell and Nick Sirianni, where there is this, I think, perception, and correct me if I'm wrong here in Philadelphia, and I think nationally, that Dan Campbell is like this great head coach. And look at what he's done for Detroit. I don't see really any difference between Dan Campbell and Nick Sirianni. I think they both are very aggressive. They're both in the CEO-type role. They both kind of delegate to their coordinators. But we being so overly focused on Nick, and I think partially this is the situation that's been created by the Eagles here, but we only look at the negatives, and we don't look at the positives. And I think with Nick Sirianni, you look at the things that he has done, his ability to be adaptable, his willingness to change, his willingness to think about things and be like, okay, well, maybe that wasn't the right decision. Maybe I will change course. Early in the game last week where the Eagles get down the field, and maybe he did look at that situation and thought, okay, well, maybe this is a spot I should get points early in the game, sets a different tone, sets a different message instead of going for a fourth and goal at the three. Like, I just look at Nick Sirianni and I see a coach that is growing. I see a coach who is willing to learn from his mistakes. And there are so many head coaches in this league who are stubborn and won't change and won't do anything differently. And I just don't think he gets nearly enough credit for that.
Let me ask you this. Do you think the Eagles have been, would you agree that the Eagles have been a generally slow starting team this season? They've been a much better second half team than
obviously
first half team. Okay, right. Do you think some of that falls on coaching? The fact that it takes them a little bit to get going, whether it's game planning or whatever else, they come out of the gate slow.
Sure. I think more of it falls on the quarterback. I think more of it's Jalen Hurts is a slow starter, but of course, some of it comes down to coaching.
Okay. Do you think in a game like the Ravens, they can get away with the slow start against the Rams and against the Commanders and against all these other teams? Do you think they can get away, so quote unquote, get away with a slow, underwhelming start like we've seen countless times this year and expect to still beat a team like the Ravens on the road, or is this a team they need to kind of come out firing and play a strong four quarters?
Yeah, I think it would be obviously advantageous to come out and get off to a hot start,
but
sure.
But it is, I think, much more necessary to do it this week than any other week we've seen. And
yeah,
if you yourself are admitting that is partially on the coach being prepared, like, who would you, I know it's hard to isolate, like, what specifically coaches are good at, but based upon what you've seen out of Sirianni and the general, I know it's the coordinator too, coaching staff of the Eagles this year versus the track record of John Harbaugh. Apparently, they're the worst fourth quarter team, but they have 8 wins. Like, who do you feel stronger about when it comes to game planning this game? Like, who do you think is putting together the better game plan, Sirianni or Harbaugh? Like,
I don't think either of them are really doing the game planning as much. I think that comes down to the coordinators.
They're coaching staff.
Yeah,
they're coaching staff.
Right, but John
Harbaugh. It still falls on them.
John Harbaugh is in the same role Nick Sirianni is.
I know. I haven't used the term CEO coach once. I'm just saying they're coaching staff.
Right. He's not coordinating the offense or the defense. Yeah, I'd have confidence in the Eagles coaching staff.
But do you have more confidence than the Ravens coaching staff to game plan a game like this?
No, I have more confidence in the Eagles coaching staff.
Okay, so even though they, based on, like, how many strong starts would you say they've had this season?
Not many.
But you still have confidence for them to turn that around in this game?
Well, I mean, why is that all on coaching? Like,
I didn't say it was all on coaching, but we're talking about the coaches.
Right, I put it more on the quarterback. Like, I think when the Eagles are starting slow, I mean, and you watch the games, I'm seeing receivers open. Like, I'm seeing plays that are there to be made. I think the quarterback starts slow. He started better last week, which was an encouraging sign. But I think when we look at the slow starts, I put that more on Jalen Hurts than I put it on Nick Sirianni.
Well, it may be more on Jalen Hurts. And if we're going back to that trio question that we asked Seth, I think that would be a big reason why I'd give the edge to Lamar over a guy like Jalen Hurts. But I think that is somewhat on coaching. I think when your team consistently comes out slow, and it's become like a running joke. Like, I saw so many tweets last week at halftime, like, they're going to still win this game by 2 or 3 scores. It won't even matter. I think this is the type of week where it matters, and I think this is the type of week where the Eagles' slow starts goes from like funny to, okay, now they actually look kind of unprepared again, and it's going to cost them in a big game.
It might, but when we're looking at the head coaches, and the conversation we were having before was more about game management.
Oh, I know.
Coaching
is not all between, you know, in game. There's a lot of week-to-week stuff. Yeah.
I think generally, though, when we look at the game management part, I think Nick Sirianni is more of a positive than a negative. Would you agree with that or no? From a game management perspective.
More of a positive than... I don't know if I can say he's more positive than negative. He's made a lot of really questionable decisions.
Right, well then say he's negative.
I'll say he's a negative.
Okay, well we'll throw that out to the audience.
I think he's been more of a negative, just from strictly game management perspective. I think he's a good coach, I'm clarifying that. But if you're asking me strictly game management, I think he's been more of a negative, yeah.
215-592-9494. Do you think Nick Sirianni's game management is more of a positive for the Eagles or a negative for the Eagles? You are welcome to get in on that as well. Let's go to Trevor in New Jersey. What's up, Trevor?
Hi, I just want to say, what about John Harbaugh not running the ball in the AFC Championship game? That's a bad decision by John Harbaugh, too. Am I wrong? Because they would have won the game if they gave it if they just ran the ball.
That was a very questionable game plan in that AFC Championship game last year. It was, yeah, I didn't know what they were doing in that game.
And for Nick Sirianni, I know he has a lot of questionable decisions, but he brings the culture to the team. He knows what he's doing. He pumps the team up. He has the greatest team speeches I've ever heard in my whole entire life. He's a great team leader. That's what we need. If we brought someone in like Bill Belichick, I don't think the Eagles would be playing the same way that they are. I know that Sirianni doesn't have the best game decisions, but he's a great leader.
Belichick, for what it's worth, seemed to motivate his guys just fine for like 2 decades.
Yeah, but then he lost Tom Brady and the team stunk.
Yes, I know, but that wasn't all. We could do the Belichick-Brady thing. Go on, Trevor.
No, I want to do the Belichick-Brady thing because I think that as soon as Brady left, then Belichick lost his mojo. Like, his team stunk, like you guys said. Like, it's just my honest opinion. Like, I think that Nick Sirianni is better than John Harbaugh when it comes to certain choices and when it comes to, like, listening to his players. And they listen to the fans because the fans said run the ball, and that's what they're doing now. They're not doing questionable plays anymore.
Yeah, I hear you, Trevor, and appreciate the call, man. Thanks. And that's the thing. And with, obviously, you know, Belichick was a good coach for a long time. And I don't know with Nick, this is kind of the problem, is how quantifiable are the things that he's doing that aren't game management decisions.
Sure.
But at some point, like, the record does need to matter.
Which is why I'm saying he's a good coach.
Right.
You can't be I think it's extremely difficult to be a bad coach in the NFL and have the record he has. I do. I believe that is difficult to accomplish. I also believe that, they have come out slow in games so far this season. That does go, maybe you want to say it's more on the quarterback, but that's partially on him. I do think the track record, we could litigate. John Harbaugh's been coaching since 2008. He, Mike Tomlin, Bill Belichick, every coach who's been around for a long time has questionable decisions. And there have been reasons that they've been good coaches and bad coaches. I'm sure if we were Ravens fans, we would have a whole litany of things that Harbaugh has done poorly. But overall, just the bottom line is that they have been one of the most consistently competitive teams for a really long time. And his record, as you just mentioned with Nick Sirianni, is overall pretty good. At a certain point, the record has to matter with John Harbaugh, and you have to acknowledge that in a league where there's so much coach turnover, like a quarter of it every year, for him to serve the test of time where they don't deal with BS or nonsense in Baltimore, that they are held to a pretty high standard down there. I just don't know how you can, like, I'm just not ready to say in week whatever we're in, 12, 13 of the 24 season, like, yeah, Nick Sirianni, Harbaugh, they're right there. Like, Harbaugh, well, I think nationally would still be given the edge.
Well, sure, nationally, but my argument is I don't care about the history. Like, I don't care. I'm looking at it right now, and right now I think these coaches are pretty even.